Aloha. This is going to be the first of three video live teachings that we'll have in the next few weeks as we continue in our series, Law and Grace. And today we're going to be talking about an inside job, Paul's going to be talking out of the book of Romans, and I'm going to read a verse, and then we'll read the verses at the top of your notes together, and then I'll complete the final two. But let me read the first verse. It says this: I find then the principle of evil is present within me. And he says, the one who wants to do good, it's in me. However, we find these words, let's read it together, go. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. And let me continue as he goes through this tension on the inside. He says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then his tone changes. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. There's a tension going on. There's a battle on the inside. And you know, some battles cannot be fought or resolved with conventional means. I mean, you got to take a different approach. And on this one, it's going to be an inside job. It reminds me of a distraught wife. She called her mother up and said, Mother, my husband is mean to me. He's being mean to me and I can't handle it. Can I come and live with you? And the mother replied, No, he's got to pay for his sin. I'm coming to live with you. Sometimes battles need to be fought in a different way. And like Paul was saying, it's an inside job. Pogo in the comic strip said this. It said, we have discovered the enemy and he is us. You see, in Law and Grace, there's a controversy or a tension on the inside of us. The Bible says the spirit of man and the flesh of man, and they're at war with one another. But not all tension is bad. For example, you can have a spring that holds something in tension so things don't fly apart, or the turbo engine of a jetliner that's hooked to the massive tonnage of the jet and it holds everything in balance, or the sails of a sailboat, the tension of the wind blowing it in one way against the rudder, and the rudder then steers it, that tension that takes place. We see it all over. And tension isn't always bad. Just, for example, a nut and a bolt, the tension holds things together. Counterbalance. Not all tension is bad. And on the inside, there's going to be a tension. Paul is saying there's a tension and it's pretty miserable at times. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. You see, the tension isn't wrong. The question is, what side are you going to let win? Paul says, I wrestle with the flesh. I wrestle with it because I know the right thing to do, but my flesh wants to do the wrong thing, and I wrestle. Here's the question. Are you wrestling with God in order to give in to the flesh? Or are you wrestling with the flesh in order to win so you can give in to God? See, one of the things that takes place in our Christian life is we say, man, it is just so hard. This Christian life is just so hard. Why? Maybe we're wrestling with the wrong side. See, if you wrestle with God because you want to give into the flesh, you're going to have a major celestial wrestling match. But if you learn to wrestle with the flesh in order to give in to God, it produces a holiness. It produces a purity of heart. It sifts you. It burns out the dross. That wrestling is good for the soul, so long as you wrestle with the right side. Attention's going to be healthy. It produces something in us. It's like the story of a caretaker that was taking care of a lot of dogs, actually. It was in the Eskimo tundra where they would have dog fights. And every weekend there would be a dog fight. And from this group of dogs, they would choose different ones and they would pit them against one another. And this old man always knew which dog would win. Well, he's a caretaker of the dogs, and he knew, he didn't bid on any, he didn't bet on any, but he knew which one would win all the time. Finally, one of the young men came and said, "How do you always know which dog's going to win?" And he smiled and he says, "I work with the dogs every day." "But how do you know which one's going to win?" "Real easy," he said. "It's the ones that I feed the most." And you see, there's going to be a tension in you and me. There's going to be a tension between the flesh and the spirit. The question is, which one you're going to feed the most? If you give in to the flesh is going to get strong, and you'll find yourself wrestling against God. We're going to take a little switch in this tension in our life to hear how we can live through this and win. There will be a tension. There will be that counterbalance. There will be that struggle and wrestling match. Make sure, in the end, you let God win.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Well, welcome everyone today. Welcome, welcome. Take out your notes. We're going to continue our series in Law and Grace. But before we jump into that, can we just say how wonderful Dad did? Give him a big hand. Isn't he like the best? My goodness. I mean, I live with him my whole life. I'm blown away. You know why? Because I watched him up here, and he did it just like I taught him. Man, I'm so proud of him. Wow. Well, hey, we're going to talk about an inside job today, and as we, again, we're speaking about law and grace. Right at the top, I want to share with us just kind of a reminder. Remember that everything that we talked about in the last few weeks, we know that the law or ways of God, the ways of God, everything that he's about will always tutor us to the grace of God. The laws and ways of God, even though there might be tension at times, or maybe it doesn't feel so good, the laws and ways of God always leads us to his grace. His grace, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at what do we do when we face those tensions, and how do we wrestle with the right side? Because I don't know about you, I wrestle with tension all the time. But here's the promise for every one of us is this: every single one of us can live through the tension, and here it is, win. Every single one of us can live through these things and win, but it will require some irreducibles that are godly irreducibles that will always produce things like holiness, purity, and most of all, God's peace. How many could use a little more of God's peace in your life? Well, I gotta do a confession here. You know, we're at church, and church is a place where, you know, you kind of share what you're wrestling with. And so I just have to share with you something that's just been stealing my peace lately. You see, one of the big things in my life right now is I'm trying to get into good shape. And if you know anything about myself and Dad, we like to do these friendly competitions, you know, father and son. And so one day we're like, yeah, I need to get in shape. I do too. Okay, I'm going to get there first. And so, you know, we kind of had this competition with golf. It's like the longest drive. Whoever drives it the longest gets Starbucks, you know. I just have to say I'm winning right now. But you know, we're in this kind of kick of, you know, trying to get healthy, lean and mean, and I have to be honest, I haven't been doing good. And so the other day, I walk into my parents' house as we're going to eat dinner, and I'm looking forward to it. All my family's there. We open up the door, and I come in, hey, everyone. The first thing my dad says, he hands me this green shake and says, here's your dinner. I'm like, gross, man. And then he starts to gloat about the 8 pounds that he just lost, you know, over the last few weeks. And I'm like, no way, man, no way. I'm way more lean than me. And we went going back and forth. And he looks at me and says, okay, let's get the scale out. I was like, oh, no. So we go into the bathroom. We pull out the scale. Now, this is serious business, all right? Pull out the scale. I said, okay, you go first, Dad. Let's see. Let's see it. Come on, man. And so as he's about to step on, I start taking everything out of my pockets, you know, my wallet, my keys, take my jacket off, my shirt off, you know. Dad looks at me. He starts doing the same thing, you know. It's like, oh, my goodness. My wife and mom come. What you guys doing? Don't worry about it. This is serious. Don't worry about it. You know, and so Dad gets on the scale. We look. You know, the scale don't lie. 168. Oh, man, it's kind of nerve-wracking. So, okay, my turn. I get on. I look. 173. For the first time in my life ever, Dad is lighter in weight than I am. Ah. It's horrible. When he saw that, I mean, this is how, what a loving father is. He just started breaking into celebration, you know, dancing around the bathroom, doing twirlies around me. I wanted to celebrate so bad, but I just couldn't. Why? Because I've always been the one more lean and mean and way more handsome. So now I'm just the more handsome one. It's like, ah. We all wrestle through tension in life, don't we? My goodness. You know, maybe the tension is in marriage, where so badly we have this yearning of wanting to have a deep commitment, a God commitment to our spouse, but there's tensions that we wrestle through. Maybe it's being loving parents and that are kind, and we know that we should encourage and we should work with and meet our children where they're at, but sometimes it's tough, and in that frustration or tiredness, whatever it might be, instead we give them stuff that, oh, we think back and say, why did I say that? Why did I? We go through tensions, don't we? You know, we're going to leave church today and we jump on the freeway and someone cuts you off and is this tension? What do? Give them the cross or give them the number one, you know? It's like, oh, what do? You know, I know what Pastor Rod would do. But this tension that we wrestle with, you know, it's the reason why Paul, he wrestled with the same thing, and he got real honest. He said, this wretched man within me, who's going to deliver me? But thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hey, let me give you four things that you never want to reduce in your life. Four things that will be from the law or ways of God that can often, when you meet them, it's tense. There's a tension because even good tension even tension, though it's tense, is not always bad. But let me give you four things you don't ever want to reduce in your life that are godly things that will always lead you to the grace of God when feeling or dealing with tension. Number one, would you write at the top of your notes here. Number one, the first, don't be afraid to be honest. Oh, man. Did you have to say that? Don't be afraid to be honest. Here's what I'm finding about honesty. As you read through the scriptures, something very interesting that's revealed. Honesty is actually the first step to freedom. Do you know that? Yes. Honesty is the first step to freedom. In other words, for instance, you know, when I stepped on that scale, and as much as I didn't want to be heavier than Dad, I looked down, the scale never lies. And what's interesting is as I saw the truth, now the truth has set me free. I started to really think about what that meant. And what that really meant for me and why Dad was, it revealed that Dad is so much more diligent in his weight management than I was at that moment. And what it revealed to me was, I'm a bit lazy right now. Oh, you know, I really been enjoying food lately. You know, the last 3 months I haven't been exercising like I should. And to be honest, I liked it. I mean, if we're being honest, right? And then you start to realize that, you know, at that moment, though I hated it with all my heart, it's like, I wanted to be more like my dad in that moment, right? And I realized that I don't want to be this 173 and I want to change. But honesty was the first step to freedom. So man, I said, you wait, you bugger, I'm going to get you. But honesty. In fact, the book of John chapter 8:32 says it this way. Let's read together. Ready, go. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. You see, the truth is sort of that scale, that spiritual scale in life. The scale don't lie. And what the laws of God is sort of like stepping on the scale and matching up our life and the things that we wrestle through or even behave or actions or reactions. We match it up to the truth of God. Oh, man, I got to be honest, it's not matching up. And so what it does is it starts us on course to freedom through the grace of God. And that's why, you know, never be afraid to be honest. Never be afraid to be honest. But we do wrestle with those fears, don't we? Because the insecurity, we get defensive, or it's tough to be honest sometimes. But even Paul gets real honest. Man, I am so wretched. Who's going to deliver me? Oh, thanks be to God, for He is the one who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't be afraid to be honest. Number two, would you write in the next bullet here? Don't be afraid to expose. Don't be afraid to expose. There's always going to be a tension to open up and expose what's really going on in our hearts, isn't there? There's always that tension. But here's the promise that God gives us if we're willing to open up in appropriate ways, obviously, to the Lord, to one another. But here it is. God actually promises us that if we're willing to expose what's really going on, here it is, two promises, that you will gain more friends and you will walk a much more spiritually clean life. That's right. 1 John 1:7, let's read and see what that says. Ready? Go. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. From what? All sin. All of it. But don't we have a tendency to hide, you know, as someone confronts or there's a conflict or someone is wanting to point something out or help or correct? It's like, there's some tension there, and where do I wrestle? Do I wrestle with the flesh to move towards God's grace, or do I wrestle with God because I want to keep doing what I'm doing, or I don't want to open those things up? But here's something of God's promise that's so beautiful, is if we're willing to open up in appropriate ways before the Lord and our one another's, our brothers and sisters. The Bible says if we walk in the light as Jesus did, no one else, but as Jesus did, then we will have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, His Son, what He did on the cross for you and me, giving us the power to receive His grace and be redeemed, to be cleansed from all sin. Isn't that beautiful? The tendency, though, is really to hide. If you remember the very first sin in the scripture, Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was they ran away and they hid. Why? Because sin often produces things like fear, and we want to hide, isolate, we're insecure, there's a separation, there is a lack of fellowship. Why? Because we don't like the tension. We are exposed. Reminds me of a camping trip our family went on last summer. All the family, we go up to Odell Lake in Oregon, and we go fishing, and all the families there, my sisters, all my sisters and their kids. And, you know, one of the things that's, you know, really important is to set sort of camp rules. And for the kids, one of the things that we set is no candy before dinner, because if you eat candy, you'll spoil your supper. right? And so no candy. So we're getting ready for dinner, and none of us could find my second daughter, Elise. Now, something you need to know about her is she's a candy monster. You know, you just mention, okay, she's like, where, you know, and she's like a hound dog. She sniffs it out anywhere, you know, she turns into a totally different person. So we couldn't find her anywhere, and I'm looking at, we're yelling, I'm running around, and I come around the camper, and I look underneath the camper in a deep, dark area. She's there with a bag of Skittles, you know, and she's just munching her Skittles. And I said, Elise, what are you doing? And I said, you're not supposed to eat the candy. You know, come out here. I went to go get her, and like a little caged cub, she starts growling at me. I'm like, oh my, this is crazy. But isn't it true? Our like first tendency when we violate something, it's like, you know, I don't want to be exposed. Why? Because I'm disobedient. But here's the thing is, why do parents put things like that on our children? Why? Well, because if you keep eating candy unregulated, you're going to get rotten teeth and they're going to fall out. Good for you. Enjoy it. Isn't that so true with our lives? You know, and whenever there's a violation, you know, the tendency is to wrestle, I can't expose this. I'm not comfortable. So we wrestle and then we run the other way. But here's something of a irreducible. You never want to reduce in your life, not just being honest, but being willing to expose. The Bible says, then His grace can come into our lives. See, it keeps things in the light. It keeps a godly accountability. You know, not these staunch rules that we're in prison and, oh, man, when I go to church, I cannot do nothing. Christians, you're just so entrapped and so in prison. No, the Bible says that God's law is perfect. It's freeing and always leads us to His grace. See, but sin, on the other hand, unregulated or unresolved, limits fellowship with God, with one another. It also limits the spiritual cleanliness in our lives. And we wonder why we walk around in our families, our marriages, with all this spiritual baggage. And we just can't figure out why we can't get clean from this stuff. We can't get rid of this stuff. Why? Well, don't be afraid to expose. Number three, would you write in the next bullet here? Don't be afraid to admit. Don't be afraid to admit. 1 John 1:9 says it this way. Let's read. Ready? Go. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, this word that we want to zero in on, and which gives us a real massive promise, though it's a wrestle to admit, this word to confess, in the Latin, it's actually two words put together. The whole word is comfateri, comfateri, and com is, in English, to. Fateri is speak. And so what the scripture is saying is, it is absolutely healthy and critical to us as people of grace to speak about the things that are not right in our life. Bad reactions, behaviors, all of these sorts of things that we deal with. And on the inside, it's like, man, why do I keep doing this? I hate it. I wrestle. There's a tension. But why do I keep doing with that? Well, admitting, what it does is to speak. The scripture says it this way, that if we're willing to confess these things, he is absolutely faithful and just to not just forgive us our sins, but cleanse us and heal us from all unrighteousness and make those things right. So He actually gives us the power to overcome those reactions or bad actions or behaviors that we wrestle with so deeply. So here's another reason why it's so important. See, every current behavior that yourself and myself we have in our life is always going to be tied to a past experience that we have experienced somewhere in the past. Maybe it's a good experience, a bad experience, something that we had no control over. Whatever happened here, you can trace it all the way up here to current day an age, a behavior, action, reaction, response. And so when we start to speak about those things, man, why do I behave? Why do I get so angry when? Why do I get so frustrated when? Why do I get so anxious when? And you start to speak out those things, and then the Lord, he allows the Lord to step in and say, oh, hey, yeah, remember that one time where back here in your life, you know, someone violated something and you had no control over, and then you came just out of sheer survival, you came to a place where you said, I vow, and you make a judgment, I vow that I will never allow anyone to control my life like that again. So then you take control of your life. And then here, current day, whenever you feel like someone is trying to control the situation or your life or how you think, no, and it gets pretty intense. And there's this tension. When we start to confess or to speak about it in the graces of God, because He's always going to be so gracious with us and shepherd us so perfectly, He's the good shepherd, then He allows us to see maybe things in the past, and then we can take those things and say, Lord, would Your blood cover that? Would You cleanse me from all unrighteousness, whether it's my own rejection of You or disobedience or someone else that has affected me because of sin? Lord, because I want to stand before You clean. See, that's why, don't ever be afraid to admit. Even Paul admits, I'm wretched, I'm frail, God, I need You. Because the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you're like me, sometimes it's a bit tough to come to these realizations on my own. You know, sometimes I'm just Portuguese like that, a little bit tough, you know. And so that's where the Bible speaks about the body of Christ, or He's designed us to do life in community, where we can take tough situations and process those things in a good, godly way. Put it on the table and do it in a good, godly way and manner in the law of God, in the ways of God. So there's parameters. It's good. It's perfect. But what happens is, you know, if you can't do that, then it's good to get with people that you love and respect and say, hey, I'm dealing with this behavior and I don't know why. Would you help me walk this through? Maybe it's a friend. Here at New Hope, we have like the best counselors like in the world. And they not only love the Word of God, but they love you so much. And simply what they are here for is just to listen and not tell you what to do, but take the Word of God and just say, hey, here's what God's Word says. Let's be ushered into His grace together. There's also, kind of take it a step further, we have something here at New Hope called New Hope Christian Counseling Center, which is a professional organization that we've created with Pastor Mark Hovland and his team. And basically they, you know, went to schooling and they are experts at different situations that we may have faced in the past. And sometimes it's like, oh man, if I go to a therapist or, oh, that means I'm weird or wacky. No, it doesn't. It means you're normal. And it means that, you know, just like anyone else that have gone through tough things, you go to someone that's an expert and asking the right questions. That's it. They love God's Word. They love you. But they understand the devastation of sin. And so those things are available. And if you're working through some of those things, don't be afraid to admit. But let me take it a step further. Not just admit, but would you write in the last bullet here, don't ever be afraid to resolve. Resolve. See, tension will never be won over by just pointing out all the things that are wrong. And yeah, I admit, you know, I don't do too well in this area or this or that. I get angry, I admit. But don't be afraid to resolve. In fact, James 1:25 says, we'll never be able to receive the blessings of God if we just point out all the right things and or all the things in our life and we're honest about it, we even expose it, we admit it. But here it is. God's blessings won't ever enter into our lives until we come to that resolve. Let's read together James 1:25, go. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see, there's different laws in life that like promise results. It produces results. And the scripture is saying that the law of God promises to produce results. Holiness, purity, peace, love, joy, patience, the fruits of the Spirit, because that's what we wrestle with, the Spirit and the flesh. But there's other laws, like physical laws, like one in my life right now is the law of burning fat, right? And when I looked at that scale, I was like, aha, I went on this rampage, like, on the internet, Google, you know, what's the magic pill? You know, I need to be leaner and meaner than my dad, you know, type of that stuff. And so this like clip came up on this biochemist that he has this topic of, you know, lose weight real quick. And he launches into the sort of the, like the molecular structure and using the periodic table of here's, you know, the compounds of fat and the atomic structure of it. And this is fat and these are other chemicals that burn the fat. And here's what you want to do, you know, and like went on for like 20 minutes of all this scientific stuff that I had no clue what he was saying. And at the very end of his talk, he addresses the people. He says, you know, all of you in here, you probably have no idea what I just said. And they're like, yeah, man. And you want to know how to burn fat. Tell us, they said. And he said, everything that I research and everything that I just told you comes down to this. Everyone's like waiting. He said this, eat less and move more. I was like, why didn't you tell me in the first place, man? So, man, I started juicing just like my dad and you know, eating salads. And, you know, I started running. Now, I don't know about you. I am not a runner. I hate running. In fact, you know, I had some knee surgeries. And after my surgery, the doctor came to me and said, hey, just to let you know, unfortunately, you can't run because 40% of your meniscus is, like, shredded. And he said, so no more running. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Doctor's orders. But then I look at the scale, I gotta do something, man. And so I started running and, you know, and going crazy. And hey, check it out, you know, because there's the law. You know, I stepped on the scale this morning, 169.8. Hey, Dad, I'm gonna get you. You wait, you bugger. I'm catching up with you. But there's laws, aren't there, that will produce fruit. And but here's what 1 Timothy 4:8 says. Said this way, hey, physical training is good, but training for godliness or the purpose of godliness is much better, promising benefits in this lifetime and in the life to come. See, all that Paul is sharing is we're going to go through tensions in life, and every single one of us, we can live through the tensions and win. If we understand the laws of God, that laws of God, though it can be tense at times, oh, it's hard to be honest, to expose, to really admit like who I am and what I'm dealing with, like where I'm really at. And it's tough, and it's tough to even come to that resolve and put on your spiritual running shoes and take off and start that process. But the law of God is perfect. And if we look into the perfect law of God, there will be a perfect result produced, which is, always leads us to the grace of God. Our greatest resolve in life, the most eternal resolve that we can ever make, is to follow the person of Jesus Christ. Not only to be the one that we say, oh God, save me from this tension. Because if he's just our savior, then, you know, once the tensions pass, oh, we just keep doing whatever we like. But then we miss the grace of God. So Lord, not just be my Savior, but would you be my Lord, the one that I follow? And your laws are not there to imprison me. It's there to free me and release me to be a man or woman of your grace. Amen.